Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3.
Have a number of people from the general public, some of whom may be here for the first time. I thought it's worth just giving a little bit of information so you know what goes on here. Essentially, the elected members you see around the horseshoe, as we call it, in the chairs there, are your councillors, and I'm the mayor. Essentially, we're volunteers, although we do have an allowance, and we do this pretty well every Tuesday night from the end of January to the middle of December, either at a general council meeting like this, or in a committee meeting, or a briefing session, and the like. This general council meeting is fairly typical in the sense that we have an agenda of some 300 and something pages, and we work through those items one by one. We do make an exception where there is a deputation from the community about a local community issue, and there is one of those examples tonight. But otherwise, the agenda has been publicly available for a few days. Hopefully you've had a look at that. You'll notice in the debate that there's quite a bit of formality to the procedure. We'll just try and get through the business as best as we can. First of all, we acknowledge the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians of the land. We pay our respects to their elders past and present. I let everyone know that the meeting is recorded for audio. I now ask elected members if there's any declaration of interest they wish to make in anticipation of an item on the agenda. If not, then we can proceed. And I do note that although we have a few members absent, I have received, or staff have received, apologies from those members. Generally, I think, because of ill health, so hopefully they're back next time. We come to the confirmation of the previous General Council and Special General Council minutes, and I suggest that can be done together. Moved confirmation by Councillor Telfer, seconded Councillor Byram, and a comment in seconding. You can make a comment, please, Councillor Byram.
Thank you, Your Worship. I just wanted to note that there were a couple of points in the minutes where there wasn't a seconder listed. Has that been fixed?
I'll ask the Acting Governance Manager, Ms. Thwaites, to comment.
Yes, that has been corrected because earlier in the minutes it does actually note that they were all moved on block and who moved and seconded there, so that was just a typo. Okay.
All right, thanks for raising that point. I put the motion then. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. I'd ask everyone, including our communications manager, to have his phone on silent during the meeting, please. Now, communications, normally the mayoral report would need to be provided several days before the meeting. It has only just been finalised. Do members have copies of a copy available of that report? Not necessarily. So I suggest we then exclude that and deal with it at the next council meeting. And I would ask that the Deputy Mayor report and Chief Executive and Executive Leadership reports be accepted, moved, Councillor Byram, seconded Councillor Hull. All those in favour, that's carried unanimously. There's an opportunity now for elected member verbal reports. Although it's in the agenda, I'm advised that, in fact, it isn't available.
No, it's, if they provide it in writing, it'll be recorded in the minutes.
Oh, I see. Right. Beg your pardon? This is the second meeting of the month, isn't it?
to them as a rectoscope in the months of February, April, June, August, October.
Crikey. Well, the agenda might be clearer then by leaving that out, if in fact there isn't such an opportunity.
But if they're provided in writing, they'll be in the minutes.
Well, then they would need to be in the agenda. But if they're not provided, they don't need to be in the agenda, I would suggest. Anyway, moving along to the deputation from Mr. Travis Smith in relation to McConnell Avenue Reserve, the western portion. So, Mr. Smith has spoken. Please come forward, Mr. Smith. Mr. Smith has spoken to us before, but I certainly realise it's a controversial issue in the local community and there's a lot of passion about it. The matter has been out for public consultation and there was an excellent meeting held at the Merino Community Hall in relation to this. Several elected members and myself attended. I'd ask Mr. Smith to try and concentrate on new material that wasn't presented last time, and you have 5 minutes. Please go ahead.
Your Worship, the Mayor and elected councillors. My name is Travis Smith and I live in Merino with my wife and three children. We are among the many users of the McConnell Avenue Reserve. This deputation speaks to the petition tabled at the council meeting on the 25th of July that requested that council retain and enhance lot 189 McConnell Avenue Merino, known as McConnell West, for the continued benefit of current and future residents. The petition was organised through the Merino Residents Association in response to the notice published in the Messenger and information posted to residents in June. There were 227 petitioners in total, and they are represented by the residents in the chamber this evening. It is understood petitions are viewed with some scepticism. As one councillor mentioned to me, people will sign anything put in front of them. So to further reinforce our position, we also developed an online questionnaire and petition. The petition attracted 72 petitioners. The questionnaire had 53 respondents, and we held a community information forum on the 13th of July, at which there were over 70 attendees strongly opposed to the council revocation. The results of these initiatives were summarised in the MRA submission provided to council during the consultation process, which concluded on the 20th of July and is included with tonight's agenda. Included in the questionnaire was the opportunity for residents to provide comments. Comments indicative of the community's views were that we need to keep as much flat land as possible. Also, the increasing housing density and younger families moving to the area of Merino justifies the retention of the McConnell Avenue Reserve. This last comment is very topical, as the council recently voted to reduce minimum block sizes in suburbs, including Merino, that may allow residents to subdivide and create blocks as small as 350 square metres. So we're looking at a future where there'll be more homes, more residents, less yard space. Merino's population could double in the next 20 years, and this doesn't include the Gasparin development. In light of these very strong and widely held concerns, there has never been a time when the retention of flat, accessible, open space has been so important. The community forum held in July was attended by over 70 people, included Mayor Hannah, Councillors Crossland, Westwood and Hull, State Member David Spears and a representative from Federal Member Nicole Flint's office. The evening went extremely well and discussions were polite and robust. This meeting reiterated that residents are not just resisting the disposal of land for the sake of being stubborn or greedy, but instead we demonstrated a detailed concept plan for the future. The ideas presented were not offered as a fixed solution, but rather to show the potential for our suburb to have a unique and accessible open space as part of a network of interconnected spaces to support our community's health and well-being. Many local residents and the wider community have clear and compelling reasons for retaining this as community land. On a personal level, a couple of weeks ago we had some family friends over for a visit. It was a perfect Merino day, so we went to McConnell West to play basketball, while others played tennis and rode scooters on the eastern side. Whilst there, we noticed a nesting magpie in a native gum tree, continuously squawking and making a huge noise. Closer inspection revealed the magpie was upset by a koala dining on leaves not far from the nest. Later that day, We heard a kookaburra laughing nearby and saw a breeding pair of rosellas fly past, all the while enjoying some recreation with family, friends and fellow residents and soaking in the spectacular views of the city and coast. This is why people love this reserve and why it should be celebrated and preserved for all, now and in the future, not sold for more houses. The petitioners, led by the Merino Residents Association, therefore request that Council rescinds the motion to continue the revocation and disposal of McConnell West and to retain and enhance this valuable community asset for the benefit of current and future residents. Thank you.
Thanks very much. You've left a little bit of time for questions, if there are any, from elected members. Councillor Hull, then Councillor Crossland.
Thanks for coming along again. I did attend that public meeting. Look, in short, you've convinced me that there is an appetite to keep the reserve. However, on that night, you presented a plan, a master plan, if you like, for the reserve, both portions of the reserve. Have you actually spoken to staff about that? Because what I'm getting at is, Mr. Mayor, is that whilst I welcome the initiative of the community, I don't want to see that reserve to remain languishing as it has in the past. If there is intent on the lines that you described, which I thought was very good, I'd like to know more about that, because that
all right,
actually makes
let's,
me...
Let's allow Mr. Smith to answer the question.
That's all. Yeah.
Yes, at this stage, it was a concept so that we could demonstrate what was possible for that space. Moving forward, part of the questionnaire included one of the responses was if people are interested in being involved in future consultation, community consultation, so that together we could decide what should happen there. So, no, we haven't contacted staff. It's just a concept at this stage.
And Councillor Crossland?
Thank you. One of the misconceptions was that the Merino has very little open space. In fact, Merino has one of the highest open space of any of our suburbs at 11%. Can you confirm that the position of the Merino Residents Association is that Council should try and maintain an 11-12% ratio of open space for all our residents?
No, I can't confirm that. But our position, as stated in the deputation and in the forward documents that are in the agenda, is that the level accessible open space that we currently have should be retained.
Okay. If there aren't any more. Thank you, Mr. Smith. I'll ask you to return to the gallery. And I leave it up to the councillors, but the relevant motion is on page 164 of the agenda, and with leave of the meeting, I would bring that forward to be dealt with now, if no one objects. If there's no objection, then let's go to page 164, and I'll leave it to someone to move the motion. Or any motion. Councillor Gard.
Your Worship, I would like to move for the alternative which follows the word or, but I would also like to amend point two of that alternative, and I have a transcript for that. So that if people have point two in front of them, it would then read, retains the western portion of McConnell Avenue Reserve, subject to developing the eastern portion and then reassessing the whole. Now, the reason I'm going that way, which is no doubt a change of heart on my part, is not because I believe that the western portion should be retained, but because I feel that a very succinct and professional case has now been put where it hadn't been put before by the community collective. I've discussed unofficially my thoughts with the president of the Merino Residents Association, Mr. Bagshaw, and he felt that that would be a worthy compromise. The idea behind it, put succinctly, is that it's not to say the western portion will never be sold, it's to say that we need more time to assess the unwindings of what is happening in Merino. and what we can do on the eastern side. And I think that is a savoury alternative, Your Worship. I'm not sure that my co-ward councillor agrees with that, because he has very firm views, as I have very firm views, but I'm living very close to the melting pot with this, and so I do take the opportunity to speak. So that is what I've put. I'll put that transcript up to our staff.
Thank you, because we'll want to make sure that we have your proposal accurately represented on the screen in front of us. And I take the opportunity to note that in the playground framework this evening, I believe there's a reference to a playground being built on the eastern portion of McConnell Reserve. So I think that that is relevant information. Of course, we haven't dealt with it. We'll deal with it later tonight. But there is that proposal fully funded in front of us. Now, Councillor Gardy, are you happy that that's the right paragraph 2? You're happy that's accurate? Very well. Then I ask for a seconder. Anything to add, Councillor Westwood?
I've always been very cautious about the idea of disposing of reserves or public land, and I think at this stage I'm not comfortable myself in disposing of this one, but I think a bit more time and consideration mightn't go astray, even if we do finally decide to dispose of it. But I that's subject to the Minister, of course. But I think we should have more time to consider it, because I'm just still not comfortable with it. Thanks very much.
Very well. Is anyone opposing the motion? Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Your Worship. That's come as a bit, a little bit of left field. That was the first U-turn that I actually anticipated. Councillor Gard has mentioned to me on many occasions that nobody has ever used that reserve for many, many years. In fact, it only became apparent to many residents that Council owned it when we began this process. Such was the nature of use of that reserve. And I still, to this day, have yet to find anybody in the east or west side of McConnell Reserve. I'm a little disappointed. When I looked at the two reserves, we are looking at improving the east side. We've campaigned for a playground. We're campaigning for the tennis courts to be made multi-purpose. I personally don't think that this motion should be held over the council members as a sort of, you give us what we want or we won't vote in favour of this. I think voting disposal of an asset on the basis that we get what we want over in the east side is a very bad precedent to set, and I have faith that the councillors around this room can make the decision without us holding this over them. So I'm voting against it.
Are there any other speakers in favour? Councillor Hull.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Look, I want to acknowledge Councillor Crosland. I understand where he's coming from. It was actually an agenda we all set out on, to actually dispose of identified parcels of land that were inefficient, underutilised, and of little worth to the community. But having said that, I'm glad I went to the public meeting. It was an overwhelming presentation that I witnessed on the night. It demonstrated the will of the community to value the land and put forward a proposal, which I mentioned earlier, to actually evaluate the land, make it useful. I'm not very keen on seeing that reserve used as an extension of somebody's yard to put a trailer or a pile of dirt or whatever they're doing there. That doesn't cut it for me. And if that continues, my opinion about this reserve will change. Make no mistake. However, Councillor Gard has put forward an opportunity for time to actually consider the reserve, for the community to put their proposal to the staff, and I encourage them to do that. Somewhat surprised I haven't done that already, because I thought it was a good plan. I welcome it. So I just think that this is the best way to go forward with this. In my own ward, I'm struggling with pieces of land that may need to be disposed of. However, the organisation seems to be putting a more strategic lens over the city now, which I welcome, and those sales have been put on hold until we actually do look and see whether they do need to be kept because of deficits in open space. In the agenda, there is a motion about land acquisitions, and this is what this is all about. Mr Mayor, what is proposed by this council team that Councillor Crosland refers to is not a sinister agenda. It's a wholesome agenda for the city to actually rationalise our open space to make it useful. And I keep going back to Jervois Street, a great example of what can be achieved if you actually put a strategic focus on your open space and playgrounds. Because if we hadn't have actually put parcels of land money aside since 1997, we wouldn't have had that millions of dollars to do that. So we've demonstrated that we actually can do this in goodwill and in the interest of the community. However, in this case, why would we pick a fight with a group of people that have demonstrated a keen interest in the land, put forward a proposal, and we need to give that time to work its way through? We should not be rash with this, and I commend the motion.
Is anyone else speaking against the motion? Then I'll invite the mover to close the debate. Councillor Gardner.
Thank you, Your Worship. I think we all know what it's like to be on the receiving end of a motion or a council's commitment to something that we don't want. And I won't go into any details, but I could name a number. They mainly affect the city of Holfast Bay, actually, but I must say that it is important to me when people really get out of their way, go out of their way to present as efficiently and effectively as this party has, it's important to me to listen to them. I believe that is democracy. I think to railroad this one after the last round of submissions that I saw would be very wrong. I also would comment on Councillor Crossland's comment in turn that it's really not a case of bargaining. The eastern side, the eastern portion of this reserve is very, very underdone and very, very overdue for treatment. I think to really give that what it deserves will make a difference. And I think that is the time then we can all stand back and objectively say, well, is this not enough or is it enough? So it's really not a bargaining chip situation. It's something that is long overdue, will certainly be passed tonight, I have no doubt. And that is the time that we then stand back.
I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? Hang on. The motion is in the passed in the affirmative. Division called by Councillor Westwood. So what we do now? All those in favour of the motion, stand in your place. Councillors Telfer, Hutchinson, Hull, Westwood, Appleby and Gard. Those against are Councillors Pfeiffer, Byram, Belescu and Crossland. The motion is carried. Thank you. We are left with the peculiarity that we've got funds allocated in the budget, which we probably won't need to spend, but I'm sure that'll come out in the wash.
Clarification, are they to do with the actual,
Yep, all right, let's keep moving on. So we're now returning to what was the normal routine of the agenda. I will say to those who might have come for that specific item, you're welcome to leave at any time. On the other hand, you're welcome to stay with us through to 9:30 or whenever we finish. It's always an action-packed evening. So, petitions, page 30. I think we need to deal with these separately. A petition in relation to Lot 23 of Oaklands Park. This is, in a sense, on the same theme of potential asset disposal, where an underused reserve has been identified. People have petitioned. There is, in fact, a process involving community consultation which is yet to take place, so these petitioners can have their views taken into account, as you'll see from the recommended motion. I'll look to you, councillors, for someone to move. Councillor, question from Councillor Crossland.
Can the staff just tell me this petition has none of the details on that it's required to have? Is it still able to be accepted as it doesn't meet the rules of a petition?
As noted in my comments of the report, it isn't actually in the correct format of a petition, but its intent is still clear, so it will be just considered as part of the community consultation on the disposal of that asset. So that was our recommendation. It is missing addresses and that, so my comments in the report are there.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Does that mean then that this is the new format that we'll accept and we don't need people's addresses from now on, if that's what we're doing?
Mr. Waits, do you have a view on it as a setting a precedent?
I don't believe it's setting a precedent. The recommendation would be provided each time a petition was received. We are required by the regulations to table a petition as received, and then we provide comment as we see fit at the time.
Thank you.
So, just to clarify, those contact numbers, who blacked those out? Were they blacked out by staff or the petitioner, or don't we know?
It was blacked out by staff. The comment is also in the report regarding that. We're not. It's not necessary to have contact numbers, so we just think it's more appropriate to blank them out to protect sort of unwarranted searches and things on websites, that then they become listed as nuisance callers and things like that. When phone numbers are listed on websites and things, they can then become nuisance calls and things like that.
Mr. Mayor, Councillor Crossland raised a good point, and I've been concerned about this for a while because I don't think we've educated the community well enough in regards to appropriate petitions. In fact, you might remember I raised concern that we didn't even have the template for an appropriate petition on our website. I hope that's been corrected. I haven't looked. But as Councillor Crossland says, we don't know whether these people are in the state of South Australia or in New Zealand or South Africa or where they are. And I think that's important to know. If the phone numbers are there, you might be able to detect if it's an Adelaide number, but we can't do that either. So, but look, it is what it is, I take the staff member's point that it's been presented to us. We can accept it along the lines as the recommendation, and I'm happy to move that way, but I really think we as an organisation need to embark on an education process about petitions and provide appropriate guidance in terms of what is a proper template or model for a petition.
So it's taken
seriously.
Well, just before you get to the point of moving, because I'm not sure if you're quite there or not, I just want to explore an alternative in case members wish to do so, because if we simply accept the document and have it considered as part of the public consultation report, then no harm is done. But we're not, on the other hand, bending the rules. And there's an element of irony, since quite often when councillors want to take common sense shortcuts, they're told they have to follow the rules rigidly, but not for the petitioners on this occasion. So one could simply note that the petition is not in the correct form, but sort of replacing one and two, or replacing number one, noting to the head petitioner that the council has noted the document and notes that the document will be considered by council as part of the public consultation report. So you see what I'm doing with that alternative. taking it as a document which is valid and a clear expression of community passion, but not sort of accepting it as a legal petition, because it isn't. Anyway, but it's up to you, councillors. I don't mind. Councillor Hull, it's with you, so...
I'm happy to accept your verbiage for that motion, Mr Mayor. I think it's spot on.
Righto. We'll just check what we've got there. Yes, well, that sums it up. So that's been moved. Is a question before we have a seconder, Councillor Byrne?
Thank you, Your Worship. That point three, where we that the head petitioner be advised that council has noted the document, are we going to put in there those comments that it wasn't in the correct format so as they understand it's changed and it's no longer a petition?
Help out.
I think we're getting a little bit carried away as to the form and not actually looking at the substance. Some people in our community, you know...
Order. So you're actually speaking to the motion, I believe.
I'm speaking to the fact that we're...
What we're doing is clarifying the motion that Councillor Hull's moving, and I think we're still in order, in a sense... Before we get to a seconder, do we need leave of the council to have the motion put in a different form, or is it? It's just up to the mover, is it not? Ms. Thwaites? No, we're still working through it. The acting governance manager says so. Perhaps in that number three, could we replace that with the requests the proponent be advised that, that the proponent be sent a copy of these minutes, or a copy of the minutes, in relation to this item. And the template for petitions. Ms. Thwaites advises it is available on the website. Probably all the more reason to actually deal with this technically correctly. Okay, that seems to cover it. So that's the motion. Is it seconded? It's seconded by Councillor Crossland. Did you wish to speak?
No, just to say thank you for that clarification. I think we're doing the public a disservice if we don't highlight this issue, because that petition as it stands has no verification of names, addresses, we've got first names. So really it will be completely discounted, and I think those people need to know that if they want it to be officially counted and actually stand up to scrutiny, they should have the option of actually supplying a proper petition.
Well, I would just clarify that it is not being accepted as a petition, but the expression that is put there by those people will be considered as part of the consultation report when we deal with that reserve. So it's not discounting the sentiment or the passion of the community.
Mayor, if I can just make a point, Don and Fred are not really appropriate points of reference for an individual. That's what it says, Don and Fred.
Yes.
Two different people. So that really does need to be tidied up.
I'm sure staff could add to the communication going back to the proponent and be as helpful as possible in terms of correct format, and to double check that we have a helpful guide as well as the actual template on our website. Now, speaking against, Councillor Vlescu. I'll just ask Ms. Thwaites to take that on board and have another look at what's on the website to ensure there's adequate guidance. Anyone else speaking in favour? Then I'll ask Councillor Hull to close the debate briefly.
Sure. Councillor Gillespie makes the point he doesn't know where these people are from, and that's exactly what the problem is. I also want to make the point that when I actually asked the question about whether the template was on the website is when I was notified by a resident that they contacted the council and nobody could help them. And I think that really our people at the front desk here need to be advised too that if people ask for guidance about a petition, that it should be given to them lickety-split. And it's a primary document, that should be shared with our community. But look, I'm still willing to accept the sentiment of this. The sale of this open space, it's one building block, is not well received by some people in the community. Once again, it's a lot of people living opposite or alongside it. They see it as an extension of their own yard. I understand that. However, we are never able to actually make another Jervois Street unless we actually have money. Now, some councillors will object to the sale of open space on principle, like some of the sentiments we've heard here tonight, Mr. Mayor, but they'll be one of the first councillors that put their hand up for money to value add one of their reserves along the lines of the recommendation I'm going to put to council tonight. So you can't have it both ways. That's what I'm saying, Mr. Mayor. We're either part of a team actually looking at bettering our community in terms of open space and having useful open space where it's needed, or we just have the current situation of piddly little one building block reserves that are not of any significant use to the community at all. So that's the challenge ahead for us, and I'm looking forward to the discussions with staff about a strategic look at this in terms of two things. One is the percentage of open space that Councillor Croslin alluded to before, and also the other climate change considerations that we need to take into account as well. We need to have a template, a lens, all those lenses put over our city to work out where we need that open space. But at the same time, if there's land that's identified that is being underutilised and is inefficient, we should be looking at disposing that to build up a kitty, to buy land, to value add those reserves that are currently one building block or two building blocks, to make it useful for somebody to kick a ball around or hit a cricket ball, whatever they want to do, or have a dog park. So that's the challenge ahead, Mr. Mayor.
Right, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously in the event. Very well. Now, with the other petition, there's a curiosity about this one as well, because the petitioners are well aware, as disclosed in the report by staff on page 36, that the Coordinator General will be making a decision about this block of flats or whatever it is on Lot 3 Appleby Road at Morphettville. So the petitioners have been very shrewd in asking elected members to resolve to ask the staff to oppose the development in their correspondence with the Coordinator General. And yet the recommendation that's put to us by staff simply says that it will be considered by the Coordinator General. In other words, it doesn't deal with the issue that has been asked by the petitioners to be addressed. In other words, what should we be doing tonight in terms of giving direction to staff? So I would just say to you, councillors, that if you're really considering the petition, there would be another paragraph that you either want staff to oppose, support or assess on the merits before they write to the Coordinator General, I would suggest. But I'll leave it to the councillor to set the direction. Councillor Valescu.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'm glad you brought that up because I do oppose the four-storey residential developments in that area.
So, Councillor, would you like to move the motion then, since you've got the call?
Happy to move it.
But that would be with an extra paragraph, paragraph three, wishes, I don't know, I suppose we can, well, really, that Council requests the Chief Executive Officer to direct staff to oppose the development in their correspondence with the Coordinator General.
Four-storey development. Do we need more information? Or can we just put in a principled position and provide a response, an in-principle position, to oppose four stories?
I said the development, but we could say a four-storey development.
Yep.
That would be good. Now, an application hasn't been lodged, but as the report discloses, Renewal SA, the government's development agency, basically, has sought to construct an apartment. So clearly they've expressed the intent to do it. They just haven't lodged a formal application. So let's have a look at that. Now, I just ask Ms. Thwaites, from a governance point of view, is that paragraph three in order?
I'd have to ask development because it may depend on the development of the area and things adjacent.
Right. Yep, there may be legal requirements which are relevant. So Mr. Katanar will advise while he's getting ready. Ms. Byram, a question?
Thank you, Worship. I just wanted to ask the question, is it that we are directing staff to do that or we tell the petitioner we will on forward this petition with what goes to the Coordinator General?
Well, that may depend on this answer from Mr. Katanar. So, Mr. Katanar, what can you tell us? Are we constrained or can we tell the Coordinator General what Council wants to do?
Through His Worship, at this stage no application has been submitted, but we suspect one is imminently to follow. Now, given that this will be a development called in by the Coordinator General, it may or may not be referred to Council for comment, so Council as a planning body may not even have an opportunity to write to the State Government. Potentially a more effective way of the elected body to convey their views on this might be a letter coming from the elected body, which the administration can draft up, and that can be a letter to the tune of the elected body is opposed to a development of up to four stories or a development of four stories and would strongly discourage the Coordinator General from approving a development of such scale. That way you can get ahead of an application before it is even lodged and bring that to the attention of the Attorney General.
Thank you, Mr. Katanar. An excellent suggestion. I was really only making the suggestion from the Chair following what was in the report, which seemed to suggest it was necessary for staff to write to the Coordinator General. But if there's nothing impeding elected members expressing a view, and we're still just formulating this motion for Councillor Bilescu to express that community intent, then we can say that the Council endorses the Mayor writing a letter to the Coordinator General opposing four-storey development on Lot 3, Appleby Road, Morpheville. Does that sound right, Councillor Valescu? And presumably staff won't be writing a letter with a contrary point of view. process. Can we put in brackets after, if you're happy, Councillor Valescu, in brackets, attaching the petition? Right, so that's the motion. You've finished speaking to it, Councillor? Then is that seconded? Councillor Appleby, the two ward councillors, shoulder to, by shoulder, marching together on this one. Is anyone speaking against the motion? Councillor Crossland, go ahead.
Thank you, Worship. I don't know the road. I don't know the development. I've seen that Renewal SA have done some four-storey developments before. They're really well designed. They're really good for catering for some of them in the community that are disadvantaged, and they have great parking. Without the information, I feel it would be remiss of me to refuse to accept or try and talk against something that I haven't seen and haven't seen the proposal, so I'll be voting against it.
Is anyone else speaking in favour of the motion? Then I'll just invite Councillor Valescu to close the debate. You virtually like twins, but no, Councillor Valescu, go ahead.
I'm Danny DeVito. Your Worship, I think this is something that the residents do have concerns about. Knowing some of the developments, the road developments along that road, they are actually, there is a lot of off-street parking. So if you increase the density in those streets, especially if they come with one garage, which is quite small, which is often needed for storage, we will have a situation where there'll be an increase in parking in that area. And there's also some of the other issues that people have with overlooking, although some of those can be overcome with some of the frosted glass. But I just think that the community, and Mr. Ingerson has contacted me, and I have had other residents contact me, and I know my fellow councillor, and they feel it's not appropriate for that area that high. And I think that it's important that as a body we reflect that to the decision makers in the process.
All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried by a majority. Thank you. Now, the committee recommendations, Ms. Thwaites will tell me if this isn't right, but they could all be dealt with en bloc. The Infrastructure and Strategy, Finance and Order, Review and Selection Committee, and the confidential minutes of the Review and Selection Committee, which would themselves have a confidential attachment. But the recommendations can still all be moved en bloc. No problem? Right, so if someone would like to, you can still speak to any of it, but Councillor Byram to move. Is that seconded? Councillor Westwood, very active tonight. If there aren't any comments, then all those in favour, raise your hand. Councillor Hull, sorry, hands down. You had a comment, Councillor Hull? I don't want to deprive you of the opportunity. Can anyone advise, we're on pages 40 to 67 or so, is the bore at the golf course relevant? What leads you to speak of this, Councillor Hull? No, but what is it in those minutes that causes you to question it? Okay, it might, page, oh, it's in the, come back in the finance report later on. So, we were at the point of putting the motion to a vote to confirm those minutes. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. Thank you. So now we can move on to corporate reports, page 67, the Recreation Community Development Plan Amendment draft for the Minister's authorisation. Now, I'm glad to say this is a planning measure where there has been unanimity about the intent. In other words, our major playing fields, to actually have them zoned correctly for the uses that they currently have. That's what we're talking about here. Would someone like to move accordingly? Councillor Telfer, go ahead and speak if you wish.
It's exciting to go to planning with having the appropriate subject of the ovals sorted, because otherwise every time we go to look at how our ovals are used, they're in residential and can be contested. So I find it great that we've at least put together all our ovals, called it Recreation Community DPA, and that we're going to have an appropriate coverage for them.
Seconded, Councillor Pfeiffer.
Thank you, Your Worship. Yeah, look, absolutely. I think we've recently only been through the development of process for Edwardstown Oval redevelopment. It went through as part of the residential zone, but I think this is far more appropriate to actually have it zoned appropriately for what its original intended use actually was, not just its use now. So I think this is a nice little tidy up for all of our sporting facilities.
Yes, as I've said many times publicly, this is a fresh new council, over half of us being fresh faces at the last election 3 years ago. We're reviewing every aspect of operations, and this has been one of those issues in the shadows that has finally been addressed after decades. So it's great that we're cleaning these things up. Councillor Gard.
Unless we just have a question, if it's appropriate. I just wanted to ask management if in the future processes that might involve enhancement of such facilities over a great deal of time, whether we can establish a means by which the public in general can feel confident about their chances to comment. One of the things I notice in the feedbacks, which are copious at the back of this item, is that there's a real nervousness about the fact that people might be signing their lives away, and that, you know, are we opening the floodgates? And almost without exception, we are refuting, or we are appeasing that nervousness and saying, no, look, all we're doing is ratifying that which should be ratified, in fact, and it makes a lot of sense. I think collectively around the table we understand that, putting it in the vernacular, we're calling a spade a spade. We're saying certain zones are what they are at long last.
Bringing that to the question, Councillor.
Yeah, well, actually, sort of the question prefaced it. It was just to say, is there going to be a process, and can we... And can we formally or even informally make the public aware that that in the event that one of these zones or one of the sections of subsections of the zone classification is to be developed, then there will be consultation and it will be done. They're not going to be run over with noise and traffic and all of the other things that are currently perturbing them.
Well, could I just leave that as a comment for staff to take on board, particularly our communications team, that once this goes through, particularly if it's approved by the Minister, as we expect it will be, that we have maybe a story in the city limits or even in the Messenger newspaper, a little description to say this is, it's gone through, this is what it means. No one needs to worry that suddenly it means that land's going to be sold off. If anything, it secures our sporting facility land for current purposes. So if the comms team could just take that on board, that's a good comment. Thank you. Councillor Byron.
Yes, my question was on that point exactly, in that I was concerned in reading the feedback that had gone to residents, and it was saying that this was a residential area and it's going, but they were concerned as to what was going to be built there. I wasn't clear from it that they knew what residential meant, that it could have housing and stuff put on there. So I felt there was a bit of confusion for residents, and I wanted to make sure we made that clear, and was asking how had we worded that, really, with what we've gone out with the questions that have come in.
Yes. Well, would either Mr. Milhewish or Mr. Katnar or even Mr. Clark, I don't know if he was involved, but how could that misapprehension have arisen that a number of residents came back to us with concerns that they thought sporting facility land would be developed for housing as a result of this, which is entirely the opposite intention? So how could that have happened with the messaging that we had?
Through the Mayor. We did receive a number of submissions or phone calls with people that did have those concerns, and to be honest, I don't know where they came from, because I think the literature that was sent out was quite clear. It just seemed that some people were under the misrepresentation that it was going to allow either residential housing or even other types of uses that the recreation DPA wasn't going to allow. Going back to the last very quickly, when it comes to consultation in the future, it's not only the development plan, the categorisation will either be Cat 1 or Cat 2, which means someone will have the opportunity of having their say, but they won't have a right of appeal. But at the same time, because it's council-owned land, and if there's going to be a major development on that land, it will go through the normal consultation process that all the other major redevelopments of the recreation land does, i.e. like Edwardstown, etc. So they'll have the opportunity at that stage for a say.
Thank you, Mr. Mullihewish. Mr. Clark, when you're informing the public, if you could translate that out of planning language into common language, I'm sure people would appreciate that. And I don't mean that as a criticism, Mr. Mullihewish, but it is common for planners to talk technically correctly and using planning language, but the fact is 99.9% of the world have no idea what category 1 or 2 is, and so it does need some translation to be effective communication. So I certainly would urge the comms team to be involved in that, and of course in a sense we have learnt from that process, because the communications team were heavily involved in the Housing Diversity DPA communication strategy as apart from the planning development itself. Councillor Hutchinson.
Just on that vein, Your Worship, there's I'm not sure if staff are aware, but there is a social media following around our Housing Diversity DPA already, because people are not understanding what we've sent out. People think that in the character areas there's going to be more development happening, and in the Marion Plains there's going to be more development, when it's actually the opposite. So I think perhaps we need to be that simplified with our language, because it talks about, hey, development is possible in character areas, but it'll be in keeping with it. Well, that's what it is already. So people think that that's a change, when it's actually not.
I could say if any members come across social media reports, complaints, whatever, which aren't already being followed by our communications team or the planning team, could they just alert them to where these links are, where these places can be found, so that these things can be tracked and responded to? Obviously, we do want to respond to those concerns. Thank you, Councillor Vlescu.
Contact me about this issue, and I think it was Mr. Malhouche that I spoke to about it, and he explained it quite well, and then I forwarded that on to the resident. But it does seem like someone needs to explain it, and we can't explain it to all 88,000 of our residents. So I think that we do need to be very clear. What we've got on the DPAs is quite good, but it probably is a bit on the wordy side. So maybe having a bit of revision and looking at exactly what we're trying to do in those areas. Because I had one somebody contact me who's running for Parliament on their concerns, and when I actually identified what it was, gave them a contact person within the council, identified the relevant parts to go to in that whole document, because the first document we give them is huge. But the summaries, which are lower down, are excellent. And that's the sort of stuff that people should have got. And probably, if we could have targeted, and I guess the benefit of hindsight, targeted the areas to let people know exactly what changing in their areas.
Well, okay. First of all, we're getting off the track of this item onto the communication strategy for the Housing Diversity DPA, and I want to cut that right there. But a couple of points I want to make. One is that it's probably inevitable that when discussing a development plan amendment and all of the technical baggage that goes with changes to zoning, it's inevitable that many people will not be able to get it. I suspect also that, I don't want to have a debate about it, but quite possibly there are some in the planning staff who think, oh my goodness, we've simplified it too much. There are probably some in the communications team who think, oh my goodness, it's still too complex. So that is a balancing act. We can't give people the whole, you know, Development Act in every letterbox to give them background. We have to try and have enough of the meat, but also the summary and simplification, so that people at least have clues to contact council and get more information. And I know that we are trying to do that. Just on that point about locality, it was one of the things that councillors stressed and the mayor stressed, that there should be the capacity for people to search for an individual suburb to get an idea of how their street's being affected. And that has been done. There are individual suburb fact sheets, and that is also searchable online. So we're making a fair effort. I think it's inevitable there'll be a lot of people who will misunderstand or need more information. We're doing our best, but you did exactly the right thing, Councillor, by getting proper considered information from staff, passing that on to the resident. I think that is just a normal fact of life. But anyway, let's return to the recreation ground DPA. I haven't heard anyone speak against it, so I think I'll just put it to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. Thank you, that's carried unanimously. And now we leave the planning topic for the moment and go to the animal management plan on page 174. A question from Councillor Byram.
Yes, I do have quite a few questions on this one because it does concern me.
Well, probably better to start with questions. I mean, technically,
yes,
you're entitled to three questions, but, this is a substantial plan, so some leeway will be given by the chair. Go ahead.
So, yes, and I'm not trying to get into debate. I am trying to keep this part to questions. The extending from the 5 metres to the 10 metres with dogs on playgrounds, I'm concerned as to how many of our playgrounds may then become no dogs because of that extension. I give an example, Spinnaker West. The playground is smack in the middle of the reserve, and to make it now 10 metres probably means it eliminates it from being any dogs allowed. So I wonder how many of our playgrounds now are actually affected. That's the first question. It's on leash, yeah. You've got to be outside that area, isn't it?
Through the Mayor, we'll have to take that question on notice. We don't know what the exact impacts will be at this point in time, but we can certainly do the investigation work for you.
Okay. So I want to just then, Councillor Velisco has just raised a comment with me. Can we just verify that when I read this, I interpreted it as no dogs allowed even on leash in that area?
Through the Chair.
you would be allowed to have a dog on leash in that area.
In the playground?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that changes things slightly.
Councillor Byrom, do you want to keep going with other questions?
Yes, the question I have is for support for a lot of the assistance dogs, and that there is nothing really... I know it's been slightly commented on with assistance dogs, but particularly the assistance dogs for children on the autism spectrum, and just looking at that support there and what we're going to be doing about looking at assistance dogs in the policy.
Right. A response to that, Ms White?
I guess we'd be looking... Did you have any suggestions about what kind of ideas you were thinking about, in particular what kind of support that we would offer at all?
I think there's a misconception from people out there as to exactly what an assistance dog is, so I'm not sure that we shouldn't be trying to make sure we get a handle on it. Because if we can't get a handle on it in council, then we can't expect the public to have a handle on it as well.
I mean, one of the considerations might be to adjourn this, but we'll see how we... Let's get all of the questions out on the table and then see where we go with it. Councillor Byrom, I'll keep going if you like.
The definition on stock, I just wondered when that's last been updated, because I noticed there's some animals appearing in the community, like alpacas and things, that aren't included now on those sort of areas. So I wondered about that.
Yes, Mr. Kettner.
Through the Mayor, in some instances, animals such as those are covered under the Development Act through intensive animal keeping. So while there may not necessarily be a direct control through the Animal Management Plan, there are mechanisms under the Development Act to actually restrict the number of those sorts of animals on, particularly in residential areas.
All right. More, Councillor Byrom?
Last one.
Okay.
Cats. When are we going to really start discussion on registration of cats in Marion?
I know that's certainly been an ongoing discussion at the state level as well, and with the Dog and Cat Management Board, I think, that I'll ask staff to advise.
Through the Mayor, through the Animal Management Plan, there'll be new discussions around the council bylaws, particularly in relation to cats, and on that important point of cat registration and what we need to be doing around that space. So it's certainly something we'll be looking into.
Councillor Hull had questions.
Yeah, my question's about cats as well. Right now, Mr. Mayor, we've got predators out there, cats and foxes, out there taking a toll on our environment every day. And yet, in this report, there's nothing to address that. The answer to foxes
The question is, what is there in the plan to address that problem? Well, let's start with that and come back to
apart
you.
Apart from education, and I've heard that numerous times over the last 30 years.
Through the Mayor, at the moment it is still ongoing with the education program, and about cats should ideally be kept indoors during night time. And this is again around cat registration and also the microchipping, so we'll have more evidence to actually collect and then interrogate and identify if there are particular problem cats that might be in areas. But at the moment it's really centred around the education.
Listen, this is like herding cats, if I may. And maybe could I actually indulge and ask that we actually have a discussion, a meaningful discussion about this and some proper direction, because education is not working, Mr. Mayor. And with the foxes, with the foxes, can we do something better than referring people to a contractor if they identify where the den is? Now, if you drive around in the wee hours of the morning, you'll see foxes all over the place.
I'll ask staff to respond. What considerations been given to that in developing the plan?
So within the plan, the City of Marion don't deal with foxes. we've recently sought advice from state government around this, and they actually have a specific person that residents can speak to around the management of foxes in the particular area. My understanding is that fox population has reached saturation in the metro area, and the recent advice I was given was that if we remove a fox, another will take its place, and there's no current program operating in Metro Adelaide.
Okay, Councillor Telfer.
My question's about the Appendix A, Appendices A, as it's called, to Appendix 1. Appendix 1 being the management plan, 2017-20, but Appendix A being the list of on and off leash. I'm wanting to suggest that there are some serious amendments to that would be valuable to this list on Appendices A it's called, which starts at page 197. If I was to be involved in accepting Appendix A, or Appendix 1, would I have a chance to put up my suggested amendments as of Appendices A?
Well, let me just answer the procedural question, and that would be that I think we're heading, with a few of the issues that have been raised, I think we're heading to adjourning this item. I would like to, and this is a long answer to your question, Councillor Telfer. Of course it's always possible to make an amendment, but you please do.
So in regards to the list, that was resolved by Council approximately maybe 10, 11 months ago. So the list contained within this animal management plan has already been resolved by Council. So if there was wanting to be a change to the list, that would have to be a resolution.
Right. If there was an addition to the list, I don't think it would be a rescission motion. I think it could just be done by a motion.
Just in addition to that, within that report that went up, there was a 12-month time frame. So in about 4 or 5 months, that report is due to come back to reconsider the list and any amendments that want to be made to that. So that could also be an opportunity at that point.
I see. So again, I think this is pointing to probably bumping this off the agenda. I think it is probably a good opportunity to get some final questions out in the air for staff to consider. I would like to acknowledge that this draft has bounced around for a while. All councils have had the opportunity to ask questions and seek clarification, but I suppose it's just a fact of life that as one approaches a general council meeting, people get the opportunity to sharpen their claws, and it focuses the mind, and so we're getting these concerns being raised. Better late than never. Let's get all of the questions out on the table, and then I will probably invite someone to move an adjournment of this. But Councillor Pfeiffer.
Thank you, Worship. Look, I'll move the adjournment in a moment if you need. My question is that appendix was actually set through the bylaw, was it not? Or was it set through a separate motion? My understanding it was through the bylaw.
Through the chair, yeah, it was considered as a standalone item, and it was a separate motion that was passed. And as Ms. White said, part of that was that it would come back to council. Is it in December? January 2018 for council's review.
So would it not make sense therefore to put together?
Yes, it would make sense for. Well, would there be a problem from staff's point of view if the plan was considered at the time that the list comes back for consideration by council? I mean, we do have a current plan in place, so it's not we're not really losing anything, but there are obviously a lot of clarifications and additions that staff think are appropriate to put in place, but a delay of several months may not matter too much, and it may be more efficient to deal with the list and the plan together. Councillor Pfeiffer.
Yeah, thank you. If I can just point out one of those points of confusion in there. It's not a question, but something to put on notice for us to consider.
Let's do that.
Yep, that'd be great. Thank you. Look, it is in relation to, and hold your breath, everyone, Edwardstown Oval. When you look at the list, it's actually, in Appendix A, it's listed three times. So it's listed as Edwardstown Memorial Oval in South Plympton, which is a dog exercise off-leash area. It's listed as Edwardstown Velodrome in Edwardstown, erroneously, because it's in South Plympton, as a dog on-leash area. It's then listed as Raglan Avenue Reserve, erroneously, because it's the Memorial Gardens, again, in Edwardstown, South Plympton, as an on-leash area. Now, it gets the plot thickens, though, because when you go on the website and look at the map that features all the dog on and off leash areas, the same site is listed twice as an on-leash reserve, and astonishingly, it's also listed as, get this, an off-leash playground. An off-leash playground. Despite the fact that we've got our bylaw that says you don't have dogs off-leash within 5 metres of a playground. So that's just one of these things, and the community, numerous community members have approached me. We've got all sorts of signage on the site which contradicts each other, and we've got numerous people contact me and say, what the hell is the deal with this place? What can we and can't we do? So that's one of the ones that I'm absolutely desperately keen to iron out.
Well, that's good feedback. I won't ask staff to comment now, simply to take it on board. Councillor Crossland.
Yeah, just one of the things that hasn't been considered is we've got a beach at Howick Cove. There doesn't seem to be any restriction on dogs off and off or on leash. Seems to be all off leash, but we do have areas which are connected with sensitive sites for wildlife, and they're not considered either in whether there should be a restriction at a time of year, or maybe we should look at doing the same as we do in other beaches across South Australia, that there are some time limits maybe where dogs are on leash. And the other one, I sense there may be an appetite for actually pushing forward with some restrictions on cats. I didn't realise there was that many people probably would be interested in pushing that forward, because that would be something I would be interested in, whether it be by registration or limiting cats to be out at night, because, again, we have a number of issues around the conservation park in particular.
Yes, how you keep cats indoors at night, I don't know. Other than by having open season on cats after curfew. And, I mean, catching them, not doing anything.
So we keep dogs in at night. We manage that.
Yeah, that's right. Well, cats and dogs are different, but I'll explain that to you later. Councillor Blisker?
When I was at the BioBlitz a couple of years ago in that area of Hallett Cove, they actually had the cat trackers that owners could actually see, especially around those sensitive areas where their cats end up at night. And I think that's quite it's quite shocking, I guess, to realise where your cat goes and how far it goes. So I think as much as people have said we've done education to death, I think in some areas we can still look at doing that sort of thing to motivate people, because it's going to be better for us, better for the environment and cheaper for council if we actually motivate people to do the right thing, want to do the right thing, as opposed to going out and catching cats that are outside of curfew and whatever may happen.
So I think staff have enough to go on with. Now, I do stress that, you know, we have a go at staff sometimes when they spring stuff on us. But this is a document that has been around for quite a while. Members have had the opportunity to provide this feedback before now. But better late than never, and many good comments were made, good questions. So we'll leave it to staff to bring this back. I suppose, it hasn't been moved, so can we just ignore it and press on, Ms. Waits? We don't need a resolution. We'll just let staff deal with that informally. They can advise us when they're ready, and indeed, if appropriate, maybe it has to come back to another forum if we can find the time, just to make sure that members are really happy with it in detail. Right, we move to page 216, the playground framework. This is another one, of course, which has been bouncing around for some time. Councillor Byrom.
Thank you, Your Worship. I would like to move this one, but I do want to just provide one amendment. There is also a note of a misprint in there. If we can look at the recommendations, para 9, Brooklyn Drive Reserve is not Shadow Park, it is actually Hallock Cove. So if we can just make that change. I've already spoken with staff regarding that. Even though it's on Shadow Park side, it is still called Hallock Cove. The only addition that I wish to make is in regards to the priority listing, that still in the priority listing we have the Skipper Close playground that is listed as to be confirmed. I would like to see that as a high priority instead of just being to be confirmed, because that was the one that has been asked for and promised from over 10 years, and we need to have that as a high priority. It was discussed at the Infrastructure Committee to that extent that we'd recognised that something needed to be done about that. So rather than it just be listed as to be confirmed, have it as a high priority. And that's the amendment. Otherwise,
and
I'll move.
Sorry, where would we... We'd be looking at amending an appendix, would we? I'd ask for staff comment on that, on whether it distorts the process by giving a high priority to a particular one. Ms. Cladderham, do you want to respond?
Through the chair. The minutes of the Infrastructure and Strategy Committee highlight that there was still some work to be done to investigate the number of playgrounds on the Hallock Cove Heights site, whether it be 2 or 3, and in relation to whether the future of Cove Sports and its configuration, whether that would be an alternative site. That's where the Infrastructure and Strategy Committee had left that one, which is why it's indicated to be confirmed. However, in saying that, if Council did wish to add that to the list as a high priority, I would suggest that goes into Recommendation 9, so that it's very clear that Council wishes for an additional playground at Skipper Close Reserve to be included in the framework.
Well, I just wonder if that is the detailed consideration of the committee, whether it might be better to leave it as it is, but Councillor Byrom to continue internal lobbying to make sure that the pressure is maintained.
If I could add to that, please, Your Worship. The problem is that if we leave it as a to be confirmed, it's going to still slip further. Cove Sports Playground, which is one of the things staff have been pushing, is for it to be considered with that, has a life of another 6 years. We're going to be ending up with the further discussions on this one. All I'm wanting is for it to be a high priority for coming to a conclusion with it, rather than it be left slipping constantly and we're another 10 years before we get it considered, because the way it reads at the moment, to be confirmed, it seems to be under the priority of even the low ones. So we need to make sure that is still moving. Even if we haven't got it listed as a new playground as Para 9, we need to make sure the priority there is for staff to be doing the work on what is going to happen with that playground.
Well, could I ask Ms. Cladderham if there is this question of 2 or 3 playgrounds in that whole Hallock Cove Heights precinct? What are the next steps to investigate and resolve that?
Through the chair, we've been looking for directions from council in regards to that, but it is linked to what future facilities are placed at Cove Sports.
Well, I know I've spoken informally with some staff and councillors about the need for a strategic review of all facilities south of O'Halloran Hill, and how the community centre or the neighbourhood centre, Cove Sports and Community Club and other facilities interlink. If that does occur, then the question of a playground or the current playground site at Cove Community and Sports Club would come into that review. I suppose the difficulty I have, Councillor Byram, is that you're really suggesting an intermediate category that isn't in the appendix at the moment. So it looks like it's good lobbying for your ward, but we don't have all the information for other councillors to make that decision tonight, especially if the infrastructure committee has suggested that there is a question.
We have had great discussions on that at infrastructure as well, but the problem being that this particular development area was promised a playground over 10 years ago, admittedly by the developers, but the money was given to council for that particular area. It's nothing's happened. We now have the development happening to the north of that Hallett Cove Heights area, just south of Pat Parr Road, and they have on that list a playground that is on the priority list. That's the Brooklyn Drive one. And to me, that's a real smack in the face of residents down there to put in Brooklyn Drive before we've done the southern one, and they've been waiting for so long. This has been discussed at length with all councillors. They are aware of it.
Well, Councillor, I suppose it's you have the call, right? So you can move as you wish. You need to be very specific then about what exactly you do want to move and what you want to and how you want to depart from the recommendation to
I'd
us.
I'd like an extra paragraph then.
The difficulty is that without the benefit of those discussions that took place at the Infrastructure Committee, which raised a question about placement of playgrounds in that area, councillors may think that a special case is being made for one particular playground. We'll see how we go. So, Councillor Byram, what is it that you want to move?
Point 10, that the considerations for this Hallett Cove Heights area of Spinnaker and Cove be a high priority for consideration by staff.
Look, I'll take questions and points of order. Councillor Fifers first.
Thank you, Your Worship. This was more a comment on the Infrastructure Committee discussion.
That's very relevant, so go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Look, I was there, as was Councillor Hull, Councillor Byram, Councillor Westwood. I think Councillor Telfer was in the cheap seats that night. The discussion, from my recollection, was very much centred around what the future of Cove Sports actually is. And the suggestion from Councillor Hull, I think it was that, you know, why don't we actually think a little bit more broader and a bit more strategically about the future of that site? Think about the fact that we'll hopefully have a BMX track exiting there from there at some time in the not too distant future, and think about it, you know, doing the job properly and actually putting some sort of regional facility in there. If we go barreling ahead too much further and too quickly with the other smaller scale development, that's off the table then. You know, you can't do something really, really great and significant right next to, you know, where we've just put in a playground two years earlier, a small one.
Right. Well, thanks for that additional information. Councillor Crossland?
Two questions, if I may, to staff, Your Worship. Yes. The first one is my understanding that the list in point 9, and I know one of the reserves on there is Wood End Reserve, which at the moment has an insignificant number of population compared with other areas. Why I thought that list was a 10-year in the future list, not a happening now, because obviously the population's not going to reach a point for a playground probably for 10, 15 years.
Clydahan.
Yeah, through the chair, the Woodend is one of the future playgrounds. The Infrastructure and Strategy Committee advised that it be supported as part of the playground framework, but in the 10 to 12 year time range, and so it's been included in that long-term financial plan for that time period.
And a second question, which is a bit of left field, Your Worship, but one of the complaints of residents in that area is that on many days when there's an event at Cove Sports, you have to pay to enter that playground, car park, or there just is physically no space for anyone to get to the playground, so they feel it's not a community asset. The playground's also smack in the way of where you would want an entranceway to the Cove Sports. What's the cost to relocate the existing playground to a new location, a rough ballpark figure?
Through the chair, we'd have to investigate that. The playground equipment is nearing the end of its useful life, and so there would need to be a cost-benefit analysis as to relocation and consideration of meeting Australian standards versus providing a new playground.
I'll leave that one as a question on notice then, Your Worship.
What are we up to? Questions, councillors? Councillor Hull?
Mr Mayor, I'd like to thank Councillor Pfeiffer for his reflection on that committee, and also Councillor Crosland. Isn't it incredulous, this is a question, that if we actually did invest money into the Cove Sports Club playground, on game day, our citizens would have to pay to get in to use the playground? Now, the acting CEO knows that I have great concern about this, given that nobody's approved this. There's no understanding in leases. There's no approval. We don't know about the accountability of the money. And I have great concerns about people being asked to pay to use what they've already paid for.
I'll take it as a comment, I mean, because you're really getting off on that different issue about leases and payment and so on.
I'd like to know if we, it's relevant to this, if we actually put our hand up to support this playground, will the people have to pay to go to the playground on game day? Simple question.
Well, you know very well, I think we all know very well, that's the current arrangement for football clubs that host matches in the Southern Football League, that they can and do charge entrance fees.
But we've got our investments, our community facilities in the territory that they charge admission for.
Yeah, well, they actually have, they're leaseholders. That's what entitles them to do it.
Well, are they entitled to a playground if they're going to have this behaviour?
Well, that's up to us. Councillor Telfer.
Through the chair to staff, what are your 20-year estimates for the committed playgrounds that are listed from 1 to 8, and including the destination playground and the shade sails and trees? They gave me these figures about 5 o'clock tonight, so they've got them.
Through the chair, the approximate we work off, we don't have the 20-year figures exactly, but we've worked off the 10-year financial plan, which we have the numbers for. Based on that basis, we were talking about somewhere in the region of about 55 million over the 20 years for capital construction, renewal, and operating and maintenance, which was the figures applied to today.
In for the destination playground and the shade sails and trees, 6.8 million.
That does indeed include that. Based on the 3.75 million figures that have been indicative figures, 3.75 plus a 20-year operating maintenance at 5% will be $7.5 million for the destination place.
My third question. In number 9, you've got extra playgrounds. What is the cost of those extra playgrounds and the extra staff resources required to put those playgrounds in?
Through through the chair that the estimated cost is over the 20 years again is the 952,000, and the extra staff resources costs about $500,000 approximately.
Thank you.
Okay, questions? Councillor Valesco?
Clarifying point nine, that it's McConnell Street East that we're looking at as the reserve.
Previous motion, that probably is important. Thank you. I just wonder too, with this paragraph nine, the resolution is to endorse the inclusion of those playgrounds as new playgrounds within the City of Marion, but in itself it doesn't advise about time frame or funding. Does it need to be more precise? Or are we relying on the appendix to do that work? If so, then perhaps it should be referred to in paragraph 9. Maybe we need it again. Right. Okay. Thank you. Councillor Westwood.
Right. Well, harping back to the Skipper Close and Brooklyn Drive parks or reserves, wherever, to be embedded into playgrounds, the locals have discussed this to a fair extent, and I think it was I have to concede that our discussion at the Infrastructure and Strategy Committee may have gone off the rails, or we may not have expressed ourselves very well at the time, but it was reported. Councillor Byram and I have agreed since then that in actual fact we were quite convinced as local councillors that that Skipper Close should go as a high priority as soon as possible, and Brooklyn Drive should certainly come after that. A year or so it would be quite reasonable, but to put it as high, Brooklyn as high, and Skipper Close as to be considered, which is lower than low to me, is completely the wrong way. So I would say that we do have to change that around, and a Skipper Close certainly, I believe, must come first as a priority. Otherwise, we're really letting down the locals in that area. And Brooklyn Drive, just because that area is being developed at present, it doesn't mean that we suddenly have to jump to it and put a high priority on the playground there, even though it would be nice to put a high priority on every playground, but we can't do that. So I think that that needs to be changed because that has
Point of order, yes. Councillor Hull.
What is the question?
I'm letting this go because where I'm heading is that I'm going to make sure that Councillor Byram's finished moving, and then I'm going to take Councillor Westwood as seconding the motion. He's not asking a question at all. So the point of order, rhetorical as it is sustained, but in the Chair's discretion, he's dealing with it differently.
May I say that was a really clarification. That's really what I was trying to do, but I'm happy to second it. And I'll leave it at that then. Thank you very much. It's clear.
So we're getting a bit tangled. The Chair's been a bit lax in allowing all these questions and comments, but Councillor Byram, had you finished moving your motion?
So that para 9, it is Appendix D on page 235 that lists the priority, and it's got low is 8 to 10 years, medium 4 to 8 years, high 2 to 4 years. Now, what we have down for para 10, and I take what Councillor Pfeiffer has said, and we did discuss what was to happen in that area because of the BMX. What I am proposing in para 10 is that the consideration of all those things take a high priority. If we leave it as a TBC to be confirmed, the concern that we have there is that that is going to slip down below a low, We just need to make sure that the consideration for what we're doing in that area doesn't wait until the current Cove playground is out of life in over 6 years.
Well, Councillor Byrne, can I just ask you something? Because
if I need to reword it.
Well, that paragraph 10, if I don't, please don't make any changes on the screen at the moment, but if it said consideration of the Hallett Cove Heights area be a high priority, then that would be consistent with the Infrastructure and Strategy
yes.
Committee deliberations.
Yes.
If you once you specify a specific site, then you're contrary to that committee. Now you're entitled, you're absolutely entitled to move something that's contrary to the committee deliberation, but other councillors would take note of that, I'd expect, and see it as sort of
it can just read the Hallett Cove Heights area.
Right.
But perhaps could we put in brackets including Skipper Close so as residents are aware we are looking at that area? Does that? No? Well, you want it just as Hallett Cove Heights area?
Well, you're the one that wants to get it through, so...
We need to make residents aware that we are still doing something in consideration for them.
If first of all, can we have consideration of instead of the word for? Probably. Okay. And if we have
yes,
instead of the word of, including, and put it in brackets. Skip a close end bracket. Well, be a high priority. I don't know that the words for staff really add anything.
No.
Now, we're still not there yet. We're moving and getting something, but we're still not sure yet. We have comment from staff. Ms. Clutterham.
Yeah, through the chair. This framework will include our works program. So at the moment, I believe the way it's worded is we still don't have a decision on whether there is a playground, or we don't have the funding at all either for Skipper Close. So just realise, I think it just needs to be a bit clearer as to what Council would like to do about Skipper, whether you'd like us to bring back a further report or you want to add it to the program now.
Well, I thought that was clear, actually. I thought the initial motion was to actually bump Skipper Close up the list despite what the
yes.
committee recommended. With the clarification, which Councillor Byrne was happy to accept, the question of resolving that whole area is what staff were being asked to consider, which would suggest a further report. But, all right, well, Councillor Westwood's not supporting that, but...
clarification.
No, order, no. Order, one by one.
Sorry.
Councillor Byrne, where are you? Which of the two is it? Do you want to resolve the question of playgrounds in the Hallett Cove Heights area, or are you saying let's bump Skipper Close up the list despite what the committee says?
Yes.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying what we discussed at the Infrastructure Committee, that it be considered with what's happening at Cove with move out of BMX and all of that area, but that's not to wait until after the life of the Cove playground has expired, because that's my concern, and a lot of us also did express that concern at the infrastructure meeting, that time frame. So we're just wanting to make sure staff have enough direction to keep this one moving as to what the decision will be, and it will come back to through infrastructure. But we need to make sure that it's not shelved until after the life of the Cove one runs out.
Well,
does that make sense?
Yes, and I must say, if I was a staff member, I would take that paragraph 10 as it's up there at the moment, as meaning that the whole area needed to be considered holistically and a report brought back in some way. Now, that's what you want, Councillor Byrne? Okay, so we've got a motion. Now, Councillor Westwood, correction, you don't want to second that motion. Just a yes or no, please.
No.
No? Okay. We've got a motion. We really must get along with this. Councillor Pfeiffer has seconded the motion. You can ask a question as part of your debate. Is anyone speaking against the motion? Councillor Telfer?
I'd like to move an amendment, Amendment 128. Yeah. Paragraphs 1 to 8 commit us to $55 million over the next 20 years. In comparison, our reserves over the next 20 years will cost $62 million, our streetscapes $45 million, and our community facilities $34 million. I believe that we began looking at a playground on every corner. We then upgraded and had the vision of the destination playground. And after that, we as a group needed to understand that we couldn't put a playground on every corner. And that, in my mind, to go by vehicle or on foot 3/4 of a kilometre is not unreasonable. So now we have a situation where over and above that $55 million, tonight the listed ones is another $1.4 million, including staff in, extra staff to do the work, and then we've got one more. Now, I love playgrounds. I love taking my children there. But the reality is that the destination playground will be valuable for a whole large age range. It will have favour. I have the experience of travelling with young children past 20 playgrounds to get to the playground they want to go to. So why are we as a council committing more to playgrounds than we are to streetscapes or community facilities? I believe that we've got this all out of proportion. And so that's why I'm leaving out for this point 9 and 10. I'll so move.
Is that seconded? Seconded, Councillor Hutchinson. You wish to speak? The regulations, etc., require that we now vote on the amendment. So that would be to essentially delete paragraphs 9 and 10 from the motion. So I put the amendment. No, after the amendment is put, after the amendment is moved and seconded, it must be voted on. So I put the amendment to you.
Can I seek guidance from the administration?
It's a point of order as to procedure.
Yeah.
I'll leave it to the acting government management. Manager to acting government's manager to advise. Opportunistic but quite efficient way of dealing with the business. Councillor Crossland has a question.
It's a question to Ms. Clitterman. The playgrounds in the lower list, do they meet the actual policy or are they actually additions and don't meet the policy guidelines of 500 metres?
Ms. Cleddehan?
Through the chair, these are additional playgrounds that have been subsequently reviewed to the July Infrastructure and Strategy Committee, taking into consideration barriers and topographical considerations.
The reason I ask is when I looked at the map, some of the playgrounds are don't seem to have any overlap with any other playground in the 500 metre zone. And I know that in some suburbs we've got playgrounds overlapped by 3 or 4 playgrounds, but they aren't listed for removal. So I just wondered how that policy is still being applied fairly.
Through the chair, Yes, look, there has been some further consideration to looking at the policy as in a guide to 400 to 500 metres, but subsequently also taking into consideration the barriers such as major transport corridors, main roads, train lines and topographical considerations.
Right, what I'm going to do, as we await advice to confirm the Mayor's ruling is correct, no doubt, I'm going to suggest that we have a 5-minute adjournment. Would someone like to so move? Move, Councillor Pfeiffer. Second, Councillor Crossland. All those in favour? All those against? No, it's an adjournment. A 5-minute break. I'll put the vote again. All those in favour? Those against? It's carried by a majority. The time by my reckoning, and it's 8:21, so we'll come back in 8:26 by the computer in front of the Mayor. Thank you.
It is extraordinary that... like the amendment can have a totally different...